श्री भक्त वेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। प्रविष्ट ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस प्रिय वाचकाचार्य स्तोत्र सत्य श्री श्रीमान डिवाइन ग्रेस श्री भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर महाराज प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की इसका पांड चार्य श्री प्रभुपाद की प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद से द्वैत कलाहा शिवाचार्य गौर भक्तवृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप उपन श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिर गोवदान की वृंदावन धाम की मथुरा धाम की नवद्वीप धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की गंगा मई की जमुना मई की तुलसी देवी की वापी देवी की हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र की साम वीर भक्तवृंद की पिता गौर प्रमानंद All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. So this afternoon we continue Dhammadas Compares. So verses 1 and 2 have already been done in the previous program. So we'll continue with verse 3 and 4. Verse 3 and 4 today. And so verse 3 and 4, I read 3 first. And Hari Bhakti Vilas, there's this, all the 8 verses of Sri Damodar described nicely with purport, and that's where we're going to be talking about from today. So verse 3, iti riksha lila bir ananda kunde swago sam lima jantam akya payantam tadiyesita yesu bhakte jitadvam puna premachastam shakta viti bandi. Now we're going to do word for word together. Yes, just please repeat. Iti idrik. Displaying in this way. Childhood pastimes. Such as the Damodar Leela. And so forth. Swalilabihi. By his own pastimes. Ananda Kunde. In a pool of bliss. Swagosham. His own family and the other residents of Gokul. Nimajjantam immersing Akhyapayantam makes known Tadiyesita Giesu to those desirous of knowing His Majesty. Aishwarya. Bhaktai Jitatvam. His quality of being conquered by his loving devotees. Who are devoid of Aishwarya Gyan. Puna again. Premataha. With love and devotion. Tam. Unto that Lord Damodar. Sata Avriti. Hundreds and hundreds of times. Vande. I praise. So here's the translation. Those super excellent pastimes of Lord Krishna's babyhood drowned the inhabitants of Gokul in pools of ecstasy. To the devotees who are attracted only to His majestic aspect of Narayan in Vaikuntha, the Lord herein reveals, I am conquered and overwhelmed by pure loving devotion. To the Supreme Lord Damodar, my obeisances hundreds and hundreds of times. Please repeat. Those super excellent pastimes.
Those super excellent pastimes.
Of Lord Krishna's babyhood.
Of Lord Krishna's babyhood.
Drowns the inhabitants of Gokul.
Drown the inhabitants of Gokul.
In pools of ecstasy.
In pools of ecstasy.
To the devotees.
To the devotees.
Who are attracted.
Who are attracted.
Only to his majestic aspect.
Only to his majestic aspect.
Of Narayan in Vaikuntha.
Of Narayan in Vaikuntha.
The Lord herein reveals.
The Lord herein reveals.
I am conquered.
I am conquered.
And overwhelmed.
And overwhelmed.
By pure loving devotion.
By pure loving devotion.
To the Supreme Lord.
To the Supreme Lord.
Damodar.
Damodar.
My obeisances.
My basis is
hundreds and hundreds of times.
Hundreds and hundreds of times.
So this is the purport from Harimath, the last. The attributes of his excellent qualities, guna vishesha, are described in this verse. The first word, iti, indicates this Damodar Leela, or all of his childhood pastimes like the Damodar Leela. Next, swa lila bhi, denotes his own transcendental pastimes by which Shwagosham, all the residents of Gokul, become immersed in pools of ecstatic mellows. Ananda Kunde Nimajantam. The word Swa connotes Swashya, his own glory, or Swanam, the glories of the residents of Gokul, which are displayed by these pastimes, Akya Payantam. Moreover, Shwagosham may refer to child Krishna since he is also a resident of Gokul. Then a warning to those who cultivate knowledge of his majesty and opulence. Tadiyeshita Gyesu. He only reveals himself to the poor, to the pure devotees, Bhakti Gitaswam, being conquered by their love. Again, this is proclaimed for all to know, Akya Payantam. To the pure devotees throughout the world who could understand his activities, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, exhibited how much he can be subdued by his devotees, his servants. In this way, he increased the pleasure of the Brajavasis by his childhood activities. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.11.9. Canto 10, Chapter 11, Text 9. Only by pure love and devotion, Premata, can the Lord be known as He is. So let us offer our obeisances, Bande, unto Him, Tam, hundreds and hundreds of times, Sata Vritti. A further meaning can be gained from the above Bhagavatam verse that obeisances are offered hundreds of times to the process of devotional service, Bhakti, which subdues the object of our love, Sri Krishna. Oma jina timiranyasya jnana jina shalakaya chakshu unmilitam yena tasmai Sri Gurave namaha Sri Kirtani manopistam sapitam yena bhushale swayam rupa kadamayam dadanti swapadantikam vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta padakamalam Sri Guru Vaisnavam cha Sri Rupa sagajatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savalupatam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sagana Larisa Sri Visakam Vitam Sya He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagat Pate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostite Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanusite Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa-dhulubhyasya kripa-sunyibhya evaca vajidhanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Kaladha Shivachari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Sumati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Swami. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravan Prasadini Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschakadi Sitarani. Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prima Padayati Krishnaya Krishna Kirtani Namni Gurati Se Namaha. Ananda Lilamaya Vigrahaya Himabhya Dibhansa Vishnurai Tasmi Mahaprema Raspadaya Chitani Chandaya Namo Namaste Chitani Chandaya Namo Namaste Chitani Chandaya Namo Namaste Chitani Chandaya Namo Namaste Hare Krishna
Hare Krishna.
Let's meet verse 4 also and then by Srila Prabhupada Madhu Maharaj Pramparaj Maharaj will see how it can be used. So verse 4 is Varam Deva Moksham Na Moksha Valimva Nasanyam Vinhe Ham Varishad Apiha Idam Te Vapunasa Gopala Bala Sarame Manasya Virastam Kim Anye. And the translation is, although, O Lord, you are able to give all kinds of benedictions, I do not pray to you for liberation, nor eternal life in Vaikuntha, nor any other boon. My only prayer is that your childhood pastimes may constantly appear in my mind. O Lord, I don't even want to know your future of Paramatma. I simply wish that your childhood pastimes may ever be enacted in my heart. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So this is 8 prayers for Sri Damodar, written by the poet and high-level devotee of the Lord, who is bringing up the Lord's pastimes as a child. In the Lord's pastimes as a child, the sweetness of it, Satyavrata Muni, the poet. And he's talking about Krishna's pastimes in a mood that he himself is in ecstasy. You can see by the way the words have come out in his 8th verse Damodarasikam prayer. Now, in one sense we can say a poem, but because he's a poet, but he's composing at the transcendental level. So going back to verse 3, those super excellent pastimes, by the way, I never heard of a word super excellent ever in my life. I thought excellent was the highest.
The max.
Yeah, again, in Krishna consciousness, there's something called super excellent. Okay. Only in Krishna consciousness. I don't think regular people who get materials ever use anything above excellent. But super excellent pastimes of Lord Krishna's babyhood drown the inhabitants of Gokul in pools of ecstasy. So, the pastimes of Lord Krishna's babyhood. Satyavrata Muni is describing this, that if we really think about it as grihasthas, as parents, we cannot help but agree with and support the statement of Satyavrata Muni. If you've been a parent before, and that's practically everybody here, you know there's a pastime going on right now. Actually, in my notes for this, I'm talking about him. Because one time we came here, and this is the first time I got a chance. What is his name?
Nihar.
Nihar.
Nihar,
okay.
Nihar.
So I was sitting on the couch here, and I had my keys, and he's never been with me, but because he could see the keys, he wanted the keys. So it didn't matter what he jumped on or how he did, he just had to get the keys.
What's going on?
You're all laughing about it. Now, so Krishna, knowing that the devotees, the gopis, the gopis of Vrindavan, were very much attached to being a mother. That's just common. And we all know what our children did when they were young. And there are big times of it that's quite interesting. So Krishna, his whole business, as Srila Prabhupada puts it, his business, the business of loving, and exchanges of love. So even as a child, he was in that mood to exchange love, to make those residents of Gokul be very, very happy with him and talk about him and focus on him and give love to him, and he gives love back through his pastimes with Balaram. So the super excellent pastimes of the Lord, it drowned the inhabitants of Gokul in pools of ecstasy. By the mercy of the Parampara, I will talk about some of the pastimes. So, to continue, he says, to the devotees who are attracted only to the awe and reverence part of him as a king in Vaikuntha, the Lord comes out and says, he reveals, I am conquered and overwhelmed by pure loving devotion. If you love the Lord, you can in fact capture the Lord. If you love the Lord, he can become your servant. But in exchange of love though. Now why would the Lord become one servant? Because that is his opulence of renunciation. The Lord is the controller of everything. But if his devotee loves him so much, then he can put himself in a subordinate position. Like driving a chariot for Arjuna. Chariot drivers are not, you know, high level positions at all. A chariot driver is basically taking instructions of the person on the chariot. Do this, do that, stop, do this. Whatever they tell him, you do. In still around Mahabharata, the Pandavas, now they had Indraprastha. And Yudhishthira is performing a Rajasuya sacrifice. So the devotees who were there and others who were part of it were given assignments, things to do to get it going. What did Lord Krishna get? Lord Krishna got the service of washing the feet of everybody who came through the door to the Rajasuya sacrifice. The first time I read that, I was on my bed and I read, I saw that, I ran out of the bed and put my foot, my head on the floor, off of the basin to the picture of Krishna in front of me. I couldn't believe it. You mean Duryodhan and Shakuni, he washed their feet? But he did it. So Krishna is equal to everyone. He's equal to even the enemies. He doesn't have enemies. Those who look at him as an enemy, he doesn't even look at him that way. So this was his service. He did it for all of them. You know how bad they were. He still did it anyway. So that was Krishna, grown Krishna. Again, Krishna is Krishna, but in his pastime, he was here and he grew certainly. So we're talking about the baby form here and the toddler form here by his own sweet will. So he's saying, if you're going to worship me in awe and reverence, you won't get as much sweetness from me as if you worship me in exchanges of love. This is why Srila Prabhupada is directing us away from the Vaikuntha planets into Goloka Vrindavan. Because that's where the sweetness really is. So the next thing is, to the Supreme Lord Damodar, my obeisances hundreds and hundreds of times. Now, some of the pastimes. Of course, Kamsa was looking to kill Krishna and inviting people, demons I should say, to find where he was and to kill him. First one was Putana. Okay. Very, 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 very potent demoness who came to Vrindavan. And all the kids who were born of the age that Krishna could be one of them, he got rid of them. She got rid of them. She was a flesh-eating demoness. She was absolutely horrible, but she also had a lot of powers, and she changed herself into a very beautiful-looking woman, charmed, Yashoda, whose heart was simple. And he gave Krishna the child, and they thought that he was going to just nurse the baby. But Krishna knew why he was there. And so Krishna sucked the poison that she had put on her breast, sucked the breast milk, and also sucked the life out of her. Putana was 12 miles in height. Radha Maharaj compares Putana to Agasura. And by the way, they are brother and sister. And he says, well, Agasura, snake, he's only 8 miles. Putana is 12 miles. 1.5, 1/3 more. Add to it. So, Krishna Krishna, it was actually Putana that realized that she was dying and ran out of the room and assumed this big form. And then when people knew what was happening, she had already fallen. And by the way, 12 miles, falling at 12 miles, a lot of trees left their bodies that day. Leveled a number of trees and fell down. Krishna was still little Krishna, holding on to the nipple and wouldn't let go. And so this big demon left the body, demoness left the body. Now, a part of this, after the death of Krishna, that's also described. Because Krishna touched Putana, sucking the breast milk from her, Krishna actually purified her. And so when the residents found out what had happened and they went looking for Krishna, I had to go a few miles just to get to where Krishna, Putana's breast, where you walk quite a bit. We were running actually. It's not short. You go at least 8, almost 10 miles to get there. And then it's big, so you have to find a way to get out to Havadi just to get Krishna. So, of course, when you're determined, Krishna has to be saved one way or the other. All of this, you won't even think twice. It's like you're on adrenaline. Like you just go. They finally got Krishna. Okay, now we see what's happened. It's a demoness. Well, she's dead. And in Vrindavan, when people die, what happens is you can't bury 12 miles anyway. The best thing is cremate the body. You can't cremate 12 miles either. It's not the easiest thing. So this is a little gross, but they did in fact cut the body in pieces and cremate. So it took a while. Now the great thing about it, because the body had been purified by Krishna, when they were cremating the body, the smoke gave very wonderful aroma to the whole of Vrindavan. So actually, they got the benefit of Vrindavan being very nice at the time Putana was being little by little cremated. And then the soul got to go to Golok Vrindavan to be a nurse for Krishna in Golok Vrindavan, because the attempts to kill Krishna involved nursing Krishna anyway. So Krishna gave the mercy. Now, Putana's situation goes back, really. Goes quite far back to the time when the Lord came as the last of Adityas, Vamanadev. Yeah. Bali Maharaj's wife at that time. Same person. And so she got so attracted to Vamanadev. Every pastime connects another pastime. You can go back, forward, forward. It's almost like that. So he was attracted because how beautiful that Vamanadev was. Yeah. So she was thinking in terms of motherly affection to him. But then when Vamanadev expanded himself and took all the husband's property, then she got mad at him. Okay. So now she kind of think negatively. So these two were both there, both polarities in terms of her thinking. So this next pastime, she got to be a mother. She exhibited the demon properties, trying to kill Krishna, and Krishna killed him. But still the motherly part was there, because Krishna was allowed to suck her breast. And then she got to continue as the nurse also in Lakunja. I mean, well, particularly Guru Granada, with Mother Yashoda. So, there are other pastimes, so many of them, stealing butter when he could at that time, giving Mother Yashoda the impression that he wasn't stealing butter when in fact he was. When the gopis complained, he told, "My dear mother, you really think that with all the butter we have in this house and how nice the butter is, you've taken the trouble to get the best butter you can from the cows, how you're going through to get the best butter. So I will leave this butter and go to other people's place and take their butter. Their butter will not be as sweet as what yours here. So why do you believe them?" So for a long time, Mother Yashoda actually bought that story. The Krishna was not silly. Until one gopi actually caught and brought and says, "You have butter all over your face, so I'm going to cover my, to side, the top of the side, and then bring it all the way home to show, because that's proof that you're doing this." So he takes Krishna by the hand. Krishna went on to the house, to Mother Yashoda, his house, Krishna's house, Mother Yashoda's house, and tells us, "Here, Mother Yashoda, come see for yourself. Krishna, this is what he's been doing. We've been telling you, you don't believe it." And so then he was going to present Krishna with all the butter and his, thinking that when he opens this side part, and Mother Yashoda started laughing at it. And she looks and says, "Oh, that was not Krishna. That was her own son, the gopi's son." And the gopi looks at her son and says, "But I know that's Krishna." But Yashoda is looking at her, this gopi's son. And so Krishna has tricked her. And so then Mother Yashoda says, "But this is not Krishna." Yeah, what can she say? What can the gopi say? So the only thing she asked them, "Well, I thought I brought Krishna. So where is Krishna then?" But he says, "Krishna's in the room. She's eating." He took the gopi to the room and opened the door, and there was Krishna. She was eating. And the other Krishna looking like is also, both of them, Krishna can expand himself easily. So what could she do? So she turned around. "All right. So I brought my own son." And Mother Yashoda, she's respectful, so she don't want to really tease her. But the thing is, this is your son, so you go back home with your son then. My Krishna is here. So in the meantime, she doesn't believe that this has happened, that Krishna actually takes the butter. So they're going back. And when they were out of sight of the house, then Krishna changed himself back to the original Krishna. And so now the two of them know. He was Krishna to begin with, but he also tells her, "You do that to me again next time, you reveal me, I'm going to look like your husband." Now, so it's almost like she's jabbing at the gopis, but she plays them. They actually love it though. They love it. That's why he does that. If everything that Krishna does with the gopis, with the gopals, the cowherd boys, and then the older ones, with the young girls and the older ones, if he does anything that he does, we might even think at our level that is wrong, okay? But because they enjoy it and they love it, then he does it anyway. It's for their loving enjoyment. So Satyavati Muni is saying, this is greater than anything else that I can ever conceive of. So I don't want, this should be played in my heart and in my mind many, 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 many times. And it gives me such joy that why would I want liberation? Why would I want to go to Vaikuntha and worshiping all in reverence when I remember what Krishna, when he was a little boy, what he was doing? So this is what he's describing here. So, in the purport, No benedictions. Make sure that I'm okay. This is number four. Let me add number four to it because it brings the whole thing. Because I said, you know, why would you want liberation? So that's number four. Oh Lord, you are able to give all kinds of benedictions, but I don't pray to you for liberation, nor eternal life from my kingdom, nor any other boon. My only prayer is your childhood pastimes may repeatedly, constantly appear in my mind. Because even for us as grands, some things when our children did, and the children don't know because they're grown, right? But when later on we remember those things, we start laughing again. Even at our level, in this place, we start laughing again. I know some of the things that we start killing. I know some things have been living. Sometimes I say, I play a little bit back to them and say, well, we don't remember at all. Vrinda especially. Vrinda especially, because Vitaka's pastime is half Vrinda. Why? Because he was younger. And some, when we're busy doing things, Vrinda had gotten a playmate. Mm-hmm. So she was with Vitaka most of the time. But when Vrinda was born, she didn't have a playmate. It was just us. So we saw more of it. Yeah, when she was going, and that's why I remember more of a past as compared to Vitaka. But, and that's just, we are here in the material world, and still even we have that. So compared to Krishna, and the Lord knows the exchange of love is very much wanted by the devotees. Satyavati Muni says, I don't pray to you for liberation, nor eternal life, nor any eternal life in Vaikuntha, nor any other boon. Let your childhood pastimes constantly appear in my mind. I don't even want to know your future of Paramatma. And that's the one that sages go to so much austerity in the forest, away from everything else, away from, you know, controlling their senses, all of that, just to see the Lord in the heart. Satyavati Muni says, I simply wish that your childhood pastimes may ever be enacted in my heart, over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. They want to see, the sages want to see, those who go through austerities, to see the Lord in your heart. Satyavati Muni says, let the childhood pastimes be enacted in my heart. That's what I want in my heart, not the Paramatma. Now, I did not read the purport part of this, so I'm going to read and basically just comment also by the Lord's mercy and the Guru's mercy. So both verses 4 and 5, we didn't talk about 5 today, they describe the poet's innermost desires, beginning with varam, boons. No benedictions of any kind are requested even here in Vrindavan, from him. He can bestow any boon. Krishna can bestow any boon. Satyavati Muni does not seek liberation. He does not desire the highest conception of moksha abhajim, which is the eternal life in Vaikuntha. Neither is he interested in any other benediction, even referring to the 9 processes of devotion and service. Even that. This is what we live by. But the thing is, the 9 processes, and let's explain, 9 processes of hearing and chanting is to help us develop love for Krishna. He was already loving Krishna's pastimes. Okay, so this is why he's not even interested in this. Now, saying that he's not interested in this does not mean he doesn't do it, though. It doesn't mean he doesn't do it. It just means that where his heart really is at is Krishna's pastimes as a deity. That's what he's focused on. So there's no attraction for them. There's duty and there's also attraction. Okay, attraction we're talking about, and the duty is what you do. Yeah, so that's the difference there. So it doesn't mean we shouldn't. We shouldn't do it. We'll be in trouble if we don't. Alright, so and then the purport also kind of categorizes moksha, liberation, and then the higher moksha, moksha vadim, with eternal life in Vaikuntha, and higher than that is the 9 processes described here. So now, O Lord, we pray to you, we pray that you let us be born, even if we're born in any hellish condition of life, just as long as our hearts and minds are engaged in the service of your Lord's Spirit. Mm-hmm. Our words are made beautiful by speaking of your activities. Mm-hmm. Just as tossy leaves are beautified when they are offered unto your Lord's Spirit. And as long as our ears are always filled with the chanting of your transcendental qualities. This is what we really desire. So even in the hellish condition of life, this is where we are. The entire material world is hell. The entire material world is hell at different rates. Mm-hmm. From the least troublesome, which is the heavenly planet, to the most troublesome, which is Pachaloka, mm-hmm. The hellish planet, the lowest of the hellish planets. There's trouble, birth, death, disease, old age, mm-hmm. The different categories. And to add to it, mm-hmm, all kinds of anxieties too. So if the material world is Kunta, a place of anxiety, then even Brahmaloka, even Lord Brahma himself, he went through unfortunate situations. So that's the way it is. Any hellish condition of life. Now, just like Jai and Vijay, they came here. They chose to be demons because they knew the Lord wanted to sport with demons. But they put a condition. We will be demons three lifetimes as long as we can always remember you. Supreme Personality of Godhead. They did not want to forget Krishna. They did not want to forget Krishna. That was important. And of course, the Lord granted that. Just as long as our hearts and minds are always engaged in your service. When the four Kumaras, we talk about Jaya Vijaya. So when four Kumaras, who were impersonalists in many ways, also saw the Lord Narayan, their hearts also changed. They were also now not thinking of that impersonal way of living. So we can understand, this is the purpose of saying, that the nine processes of devotion can be perfected even in hell. In the material, when you say hell, now we mean in the material world. In the material world. Oh, those who are in the hellish planets, so they also deal with Krishna. Yeah, they do. Krishna is everywhere. Well, if you, you know, connect with him, that's one thing. If you're not connecting with him, that's another thing. The material world is hell. You see, sometimes when you see that, it's kind of hard to kind of picture that this is hell, because we're used to tolerating a lot of things that happen to us. Since we talked about that last weekend, that the demigods are in control of the material affairs. Krishna has empowered them and given them control of material affairs. Now, the material affairs here are not going so nicely. You just mentioned the weather. Sometimes we get the last couple of days we have 70s and it's down to 50s, and at any time different things can come. Sometimes we hear in the news a hurricane that's hit somewhere else. People have lost their houses, or there's a blizzard, or all kinds of things happen. The demigods are in control of the world, but one thing about the, if we talk about the weather alone, is we don't have any say in the weather. We don't. Anything can hit us at any time. And then the so-called most advanced country in the world, they can't even get the weather forecast straight. Most of the time, they make mistakes. So that's also another thing. And the reason they make mistakes, they've never figured this out, is because they don't realize that actual humans in demigods control what happens. Not what your computer says. They do. Therefore, they can change things at any time. It's like, say, take an example like we as humans. And we have living entities that are much smaller than us, because it's compared to demigods, we're like that. Much smaller than us. But they are advanced in whatever they call science. And so they predict, it's going to be like this, it's going to be like this based on our weather. But you are, let's just say, the personification of the weather as a person. and you decide, okay, I'm gonna go this direction. And so as I'm going, the wind currents around me, these little things sing, that's their song. That is their song. But I'm walking, and I decide, okay, well, he's going this way, therefore, they've calculated, by the time of this one, I will be at that point. And I decide, I want to sit on the chair there. So I turn around and go sit on the chair. And now their computer's off. This is what's going on. So he'll never get it right. Because it is, the demigods are part of humans too, and 400,000, you know, creatures are part of the category. So this is the way, what's going on? Maharaj gave one example. So sometimes, again, similar to this, okay, and somebody says, oh, but maybe, so we are experiencing a hurricane, but maybe that could be the wind. Now everything is alive now. Everything actually is alive. Maybe in a hurry to go beat someone else, he's just going faster. You know? So anything, in other words, it's the same kind of thinking, yeah. And the demigods are actually very much a part of what happens here. They control what happens. So we are being hit left and right. We just are relatively okay. Relatively okay, because the entire material was relatively like that. Compared to other people in some countries and that's so developed, yeah, we have more compared to other people in the countries. But it does not mean that we are off the hook. Not at all. We're going through a lot of suffering too. And then the other thing is I and mine. My this, I own this, and so on. But we don't own anything. Interesting, yesterday at While Missing, Pennsylvania, the question was asked about Krishna and Ram. Why Krishna's pastimes seems to be outside of our so-called morality. Lord Ram was an ideal king. Lord Ram did everything right. There was love there, there was a husband, and there was this father, he had one wife. He had one wife. As a matter of fact, there were others that were interested in Lord Ram, like Shupanaka was interested in Lord Ram, could not have Lord Ram. Not even when he became, twice now, he accepted that. Once in the forest, when he went after Lord Ram as a demon. But later on, he also did austerities in the river. Same thing. He still desired Lord Ram. And Lord Shiva approached him and said, this lifetime, in Dvaita Yuga, you cannot have Lord Ram as a consort in any way because he has decided one wife. One wife. But later, in another Yuga, that could be granted. And it was later on, because he was the one, she was the one in Dwapara Yuga, Krishna and Balaram. She was Kubja, the hunchback Kubja, that Krishna straightened out, yeah, and then she also got associated with Krishna.
What's
Kubja? Shupanaka in Ramayana was Kubja, yeah. So he granted the wish. But Lord Ram was living the life was that he was living as a king as an example to us. That's the difference. As an example to us. By the Lord's own sweet will, he was righteous, law-abiding, obedient to parents, loving to his wife, caring for the citizens. All of that he did to show us here how we should live. But Krishna... And by the way, Krishna's incarnation is Lord Ram. So Krishna is the sum total of all incarnations too. His life is about love and love alone. Love is the sweetest. And so he opens up to anyone who loves him and exchanges love with them. And if he opens up and that person happens to be a woman, he says, oh, but Krishna has a wife, therefore he has to be only one wife, like Lord Ram, but the other women cannot be wives to him. They can't be girlfriends to him. Because how do you express the love then? How can they express the love, and how can Krishna love them back? So Lord Ram's life was to teach us what we're supposed to do. That was a life of teaching how to be a reformed person in the day. Whereas Krishna exhibiting the highest love to anyone and anything that expresses love to Krishna. That's the difference. Everybody. So that's what Srila Prabhupada is teaching us. So devotional service is to develop love for Krishna. We have forgotten how to love Krishna. We were envious of Krishna, got put here, being bewildered by so many things here in the material world, thinking that that's going to bring us happiness, when in fact loving Krishna is what brings happiness. So we have been instructed by the spiritual masters that we should live life based on chanting, based on hearing, so we know who Krishna really is. And then when we do the service, it's like when you love somebody, even at our level now, which is not high like the way it is the gopis loving Krishna, but we understand what love is to some extent, even here. When you love somebody, what do you do for them? Do they ask you, do this for me, do this for me? You want to do something to please them. So you go and when you love somebody, you want to do things to please them. You give them gifts. Sometimes, you know, the sweetest gifts are the ones that happen when the person doesn't expect it, and they get it anyway. That's sweeter than the ones that are kind of expected. Christmas, yeah, birthday, yeah, those are specific gifts. Okay? But the ones that you give, just, especially spontaneously, you just give anyway, right? It expresses love. Now, so we know that. Now, since we don't know how to love Krishna, then now we've been given the instructions, do this, do that, do this, do that. So it's like the opposite. Because when you love somebody, you do things for them. But since we don't know how to love Krishna, so we do things, we've been told how to do things until the point where it becomes habit, and then it becomes from our hearts giving, and then Krishna will reveal himself in bhakti. So this is the way we're going. We've lost, by the mercy of the parampara, we are being taught first, okay, now you start serving. You do it by instruction. You don't know how to love, but you just do it by instruction anyway. Do what we tell you. And it becomes habit. Then after the habit, then you get to like doing it, because Krishna will sweeten, he rewards as we go on. You like doing it, and then you love doing it. And then you realize, oh, this is real, this is sweetness of life. As soon as you get sweetness of life, and then all the other material things you used to do, they don't become important anymore. Literally, little by little, you get away from it. And you just go, and then by the mercy of Krishna, you leave the body, you say, alright, well, come enjoy the highest. It's there. So that's the way it is with our lives now. So Damodar, it's the last point we talk about. The Lord's name is Damodar. He's passed on. Damo Rope Udara Delhi. So the Lord was bound, there's a whole pastime, we'll get into the great part about how Mother Yashoda went through a hard time binding Krishna to the grinding stone. But then we'll fast forward that pastime. So Manigriva and Nalakubar, they were sons of Kubera, who is the treasurer for the demigods, living it up. So much was there, wealth. And just like many people in the material world, even at our level now, wealth, so much wealth, and pretty much nothing to do, because you know everybody handles whatever you have to do for you. You don't do anything, you just have so much money. What do people do? They're just going to have as good sense gratification, good time, as you call it, good time, as they want. People who are like that. Okay. So, Nakubara Manigiva were in that position. Sons of a very, very wealthy treasure of demigods. So, and in the heavenly planets, there's so much sense gratification, much, much, much higher than what we have here. So they were enjoying themselves with women. And now the Muni happened to be walking by that place. But they were so drunk, the women noticed and covered themselves. They didn't. And so now, man, this is in the Bhagavatam 10th canto and 10th chapter. 10th canto and 10th chapter. So some parts of it I'll read just, you know, word for word. So Sukadeva Goswami is describing to Maharaj Parikshit that Sukadeva Goswami explains the situation with Devashi Narada. So Narada cursed them to become trees, Arjun trees. By Vishnu Papa says they are still Arjun trees that are used now. Yeah, the box of Arjun trees that are used by some medicine people to cure heart problems. So they're still around. Arjun trees are now for 100 years of the demigods, which is 18,000 years of our time. Trees usually go about 5,000 to 7,000 years. They were more than double that. But Narada always, when he even is punishing, he does it in such a way that the person will in fact be elevated in the end. So when he cursed them to be Arjun trees because they didn't even respect the fact that he was around and they could have covered themselves and they had to and they didn't, he said, you would be two Arjun trees but in the courtyard where you can see Krishna. You will be able to see Krishna. So when Krishna was bound by rope to this big grinding mortar, and it's heavy. To us it's heavy. You see, to us it's heavy. But Krishna, as a baby, crawled to the Arjun trees. Now here's in Bhagavatam what Krishna was thinking. So in Bhagavatam 10.10.25, Krishna is a translation. Although these two young men are the sons of the very rich Kuvera, and I have nothing to do with them, Devashi Narada is my dear, my very dear and affectionate devotee, and therefore, because he wanted me to come face to face with them, I have to do that for their deliverance. You see, when a devotee is so much in love with Krishna, then even what the devotee wants and says, Krishna arranges to get it done anyway. See, this is a loving thing. Because Narada said that. So Manigriva and Narada were fortunate, not because Krishna liberated them, but because Narada set it up so they could be liberated. And Krishna went along with it. Krishna went along with it and did it. And that's why he crawled. So the point is, the Prabhupada is making the purport is, if one seeks the favor of devotee, instead of directly asking from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is very easily successful. I'll say it again. If one seeks the favor of devotee, instead of asking directly favors from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is very easily granted those. You go through the devotee. You go through the favor of the Lord. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur has therefore recommended one should desire to become like a dog in strictly following a devotee. Krishna is in the hand of a devotee. Krishna is in the hand of a devotee. The love of Krishna is captured in the heart of a devotee. So thus, without the favor of a devotee, one cannot directly approach Krishna. What to speak of engaging in the service. So let's stop here. So Krishna is here in the deity form. So why is this statement being made? Without the favor of the devotee, one cannot directly approach Krishna. It looks like it's Krishna. The deity is here. The deity is Krishna. But then how do we ever even get to serve the deity? It was the devotee that said we should do it. So if it wasn't the devotee, we wouldn't be looking at the deities. Or getting to serve the ladies like this. It's also from the devotee. Now, So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, one should be desired to become like a dog in strictly following the Buddha. So why a dog? Well, we've seen people be dogs. Yeah. What do you tell a dog and dog refuses? The man is always obeying the master. Sometimes if you walk the dogs, and I see in my neighborhood people walk their dogs, they might get curious and stop or something, they smell something. But as soon as the master says, come along, they immediately stop and follow. You will never see a master shouting at the dog, hey, let's go. He never does that. He says, you can calmly say, and the dog follows. So this is the example about, you know, we should be like that towards the pure devotee of the Lord. We should be like that towards the power of God. And he's happy. And just like Narada Muni was offended by what Manigriva and Narada said, still he gave them opportunity to meet Krishna. Now, back to the pastime. This is the last point. So Krishna entered between the two Arjuna trees, and the mortar was caught, turned, you know, like that, between the two. And then he pulled. Now, we can't even handle a branch of a tree. Much less a tree that's also firmly fixed with its roots in the ground. You can bump it all you want. It won't go anywhere. Yet he pulled two trees at once, together. They both came down. Now, this is why the pastimes of the Lord are wonderful. Now, we know that Manigriva and Nalakubara, they got liberated. In fact, they offered prayers. They went back up. But the funny part of it is, the cowherd little boys saw it happen. They saw it happen. And when the trees fell, the big crash, then, of course, the residents of all the adults said, something has happened, let's go find out. So they went and they saw Krishna, little bitty Krishna, between these Arjuna trees, and Nanda Maharaj got really concerned. How did this all happen? But then, no adult was there to see it. The children saw it, and they're saying exactly what happened. They're saying, Krishna got this mortar between the two Arjuna trees, and he pulled, and they fell. Yeah, adults say, really? Krishna did this? Alright, that's your story. But we won't buy it. But that's your story, you know. The important thing is Krishna is safe. Krishna is safe. We went to Nanda Maharaj. And then Mother Yashoda became the victim of the circumstances, because Mother Yashoda says, So you tied Nanda Maharaj, found out what happened, that Krishna got tied to the mortar, and then he pulled this, and this is how this happened. But, you know, the adults would not believe that Krishna pulled the Arjuna trees down. But later on they would believe things, because when he lifted Govardhana, they knew the kind of person he was. But as little like that, when he called, they would not believe it. But they still knew the truth. This is Krishna's own will, though. He decided the kids would know this time. The adults, they wouldn't see it. And whatever they think, that's on them. That's on them. So, Damana Lila, we could just go on and on and on and on and on. And I'm looking at the time, and I think we might as well stop here. Shri Damoda Ki! Shri Prabhupada Ki! So, are there any questions? Like this, more pastimes, but still, the questions. The one thing we pick up in our own lives is the spiritual master is in fact our connection to Krishna. Very important that we go through. If you initiate your spiritual master, you cannot initiate it. Srila Prabhupada. It's all part of the Prabhupada. You're still connected, but it's connected. Your heart is with Krishna, you're already connected. So, that's where we get our blessings. That's where we get our guidance to. Any questions? Yeah.
Can you explain the term that you said initially? Krishna's opulence of renunciation.
Okay. So, when Krishna does things that... Okay, first of all, before we even talk about that, Krishna is true Bhagavan Swayam. He is the controller of all controllers. All controllers get their, whatever the the universe controlling from Krishna. He's the supreme controller. So, from our way of thinking, we'd expect that since he is the boss of bosses, that everything has to be done for him. Okay, but when he, out of a love that he has for his devotees, and the devotees' love they have for him, that's something that's menial. Then he is exhibiting his renunciation. That's how it's been explained. So he was exhibiting his opulence of renunciation when he drove the chariot for Arjuna. When, as we said in the past, he washed the feet of the devotees. When he went to Hastinapur as a servant, as a messenger. See, messenger, chariot driver, washing feet. Look at all these kinds of jobs. You know what I mean? Every one of them is menial. Every one of them is menial. As a little boy carrying Nanda Maharaj's sandals and giving it to him, he's still the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, Nanda and Yashoda didn't know that. They didn't know that. Uddhava was one that finally convinced that, yeah, he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead at your house. You didn't believe, but, you know, he was. So, Yogamaya was operating on them at that time. But so when he does these things, then he's exhibiting his opulence renunciation. Because he's a controller of controllers. Yes, that's him. Yes. Any other questions?
So, yeah. Alongside what talked about his renunciation, so when he comes in the Vrindavan as a cowherd boy, he doesn't come as an opulent or a king or somebody. He does the menial service of taking care of the cow, the gopar.
That can also be put in that, yeah.
So that's,
that
which is right. Considered original form of
personality. Which is But then there's more to it though, because that one, that's there, but also it's description of simple life, the way it is in Golok Vrindavan, because Golok Vrindavan is a replica. Okay. At our level, most of us, including myself, we won't be able to see it, but they have that, you know, operating the higher vibration. And because there is association, the cowherd boys, with that, because then they are together, came up the house together, and then they can play their games together, yeah. So this is all part of this. It's, in a sense, the job itself is at the renunciation level. So it doesn't take much to take care of cars, put them in the ground, have them do, you know, things, it's not. But, and so he's not living like a king, he's living like a common boy. But the part, that's part, the other thing that we cannot neglect is the devotee association that he gives also, and they sing the love, yeah, and they perform in the past tense, yeah.
Can you probably talk about when Yashoda Maya was trying to bound Krishna, and the root was two fingers short? Will you please talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so before Madhya Yashoda was able to bind Krishna to the grinding mortar, this we've said so many times, so there was, you had to get a rope. And you would bind Krishna and go around Krishna, but then in order to tie the rope, she was unsuccessful because it was 2 fingers or 2 inches, sometimes say, too short. So he gets more rope, she gets more rope and tries to bind Krishna, but every time she's tying, it's short. Every time she's tying, it's short. And Krishna was not increasing his size, but through his own internal potency, he was playing a game with Madhya Yashoda. So, now, the, what we get out of it, that's been taught by the Acharyas, is that the 2 inches represent the effort that we put in and the mercy that we get from the effort. Yeah. So, it's actually reminding us that nobody should give up on bhakti, devotion service. Some of us don't even understand, and it takes time to understand what devotion service is. Many, many, many devotees right now, they are going through service, but they don't understand devotional service yet. Okay. And some of us, we see it, if you've been in ISKCON, you've been a devotee for a long time, it's not that you're more experienced, but you have seen so many cases and how they've ended and so on. So you can see that this is going. And then you remember your own too, at a time where you're raw, like anything, yeah. You know what you went through, and then so what it is now. Okay, it's a growth process. When you say the person is initiated, why do we call it twice born? Twice born means you're born materially from your mother first time, and the second birth is the initiation. Okay, that's twice born. Okay. So when a person gets initiated, it's twice born. But twice born, the word though is born. So materially, you're born to the age you get initiated. But when you get initiated, you're born spiritually again from 0 years. So if you've been initiated 1 year, yeah, you're grown spiritually 1 year. If you're in 5 years, you are grown spiritually 5 years. Now, the years for spiritual growth is not the same as the years for this material growth, because that years is ruled by humility. The more humble you are, your years go faster. The more false ego you are, your years go like really slow. That's a devotee. Okay? The years of a devotee are ruled by humility, how humble you are. The less humble you are, the greater false ego you are, and believe me, your years can be 15 years of somebody else's. And that's why I know what my Guru made once happen in Washington, D.C. He says, I don't like what people call a senior devotee. There's somebody who's been in ISKCON 15 years and they haven't grown. Yes. What stops the worldly growth is lack of humility. Okay, so when is that twice born? It didn't mean that, okay, somebody is like 20 years in this car and they're for 20 years and then they fell in mind and then they fell down. So they went into 20 years. What happened? You never really grew properly. Okay. So it's humility that works. Really, really, really assess yourself. Am I doing the right thing? Am I? And we said, let me come back to that again. So we talked about many people are involved in service, but they're yet to understand what devotional service is. Mm-hmm. Devotional service is in Bhagavatam. It says, ahoitiki apratiyata. Unmotivated. There shouldn't be any motive behind it. But Maya is always trying to give us a motive for the service. And it goes on everywhere. It goes on here. It's gonna have, yeah, yeah. So like, I'll just say once. I won't mention any names, but this happened in Giranagri. There were devotees that came in, visitors. Well, I should say visitors. They came. They stayed though. But you know, they came from another country. And this was Vyas Puja time, 2003, for my Guru Maharaj. So people came from different countries around the world to come to that particular function. It turned out there was a meeting after the Vyas Puja was over, and one devotee was saying that where we come from in our country, if somebody has to do a service, a bhakti, devotional service, right? They call it devotional service. It's not, but somebody has to do a service, and you're not able to do it, then they tell somebody, and I do a, you know, the other person do it, like A and B. A has service, he's not going to be able to do it. He asks B, and B does a service for A. So now, the understanding is B is doing the service for A so that A can do B's service for him at another time. In other words, I'm helping you with your service so the next time when I need you, I get you and you do my service for me. That's not devotional.
I owe you.
That the service is all right, but not devotional. That's not from the heart. That's an agreement. That's an agreement. Pralam Maharaj said, I don't want an agreement with all the senior leaders. No, I don't want an agreement for you. I just, from my heart. So see, it takes a while to understand the devotional part of service though. It takes a while. When you, in that situation, and at that time, and now, this time I call a name, Madhavaj Lila, was the one who was, and he stopped this guy and says, no. What, you may have done that where you come from, but we don't do it like that here. And as many times as this guy repeated it, Madhavaj Lila said, absolutely not. It's not going to be like that here. Because you see, there's no heart in that. That's just an arrangement. That's just an arrangement. So as soon as you arrange, the devotion is gone. You do service though, but there's full devotion in it. And that's the difference. And believe me, it took a while. So because we're in a whole community, we just saw it happen to other people, and other people saw, oh my, and all that, and then we learned and learned and learned, so we began to get it. We began to get it. It's all about humility. When somebody asks for help, yeah, help. But don't say, oh, I'm helping, therefore I can't do this other thing. No, it doesn't work like that. So what takes time is the devotion part of the service. Service you do, but it takes a while to understand what real devotion is. And humility is what really, humility is the whole lecture. What really runs, drives in the real devotion service. Okay, sorry, I was long enough. Hare Krishna. Any other questions? Any other questions? Thanks, Raj. Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
Jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Sai Guru Premanande.
Jai. Jai. Jai.